Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. God is good. Amen. And he is our deliverer. Thank you, Jesus. So tonight we're continuing with Healing School, Semester 2. The module tonight is entitled The Cycle of Change, Part 2, Creating a Life of Victory, a life of a super conqueror. Amen. Overview. God wants you to be not conformed to this world, but instead to be transformed. Understanding the three gates of transformation and how they work in the cycle of change will help you to be more effective in spiritual warfare and to become that super conqueror. Amen. Amen. So, let's review a little bit from the cycle of change part one. I want to remind you the cycle of change is based on the pentacotomy, the five parts of man, and it is the five parts of man, which is the spirit, heart, soul, mind, and body, which we want to line up, put in alignment with each other so that the power of God that is in our spirit, remember, Christ in us, Christ in you, the confident expectation of his glory, of his manifested presence in our lives. And all of God is in Jesus, and all of Jesus is in us. Both from Colossians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 2. And so we want to align our five parts so that the Spirit of God can flow from our spirit through our heart, soul, mind, body, and then out to the world through our words and our works. So that's the pentacotomy. But using the pentacotomy to change ourselves to become more like Christ is a little bit different order. So the cycle of change goes like this. It starts with the mind. And we bring into our mind, which we're going to talk about in more detail, we bring into our mind the Word of God. Our mind is renewed by the Word of God. And so we renew our mind with the Word of God, and then by acting on the Word of God, speaking it, taking steps of faith, acting on it, it then gets it into our heart. So it's mind, heart. And then from our heart, it affects the way we speak, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it changes our words. Now our words are coming from our heart, which is our heart knowledge, and then it changes our soul. That is our ambitions, our goals, our desires. So now we are heading our life more and more towards God and more towards the Word of God. And then the soul then, having been prospered, remember our verse in 3 John 2, that I pray that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. So our soul is prospering. It affects then the outward. In other words, our health and our prosperity. So now it has flowed to our body. So that is the cycle of change. So what we want to look at more tonight is kind of more in depth to understanding the mind and how the mind works and how the Word of God renews our mind. We're going to talk about understanding the heart. So we're going to look at more detail at the heart and then also at understanding the tongue. The reason we're concentrating on these three is because these are the gates of transformation. These are the three key areas that affect change in our lives, that affect the transformation. Remember, we're not trying to be conformed to Christianity, just follow the rules and the regulations, but we want to be fundamentally transformed from the inside out so that our lives are different, so we become more like Christ, so we can affect this world. And then we're going to look at how to use the gates of transformation to manifest a vision into our lives. A vision spiritually, a vision vocationally, wherever we happen to be at. Creating a ministry, whatever it might be, will give some keys to how to change and implement those things into our lives. Okay, so let's start with understanding the mind. The first gate of transformation is the mind, and it is our interaction with the world. The mind takes the input that comes to it through the five senses. It analyzes it, categorizes it, organizes it into its previously determined perception of reality. So much like, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, much like our core values, actually they kind of interplay with each other, because whatever comes into our mind and becomes a major part of our mind and our thinking, we start acting on it, it gets into our heart. So the same processes work. So the five senses, we interface with the world. It has a predetermined perception of reality. In other words, what we believe about life. So every input that comes into our five senses, we put into a category. We put it someplace into the reality that we understand at that particular point in time. Number three, to renew or renovate the mind requires a new set of input that results in a paradigm shift that changes a person's perception of reality. Now, this, of course, can happen on a lot of different levels. We get new information that it's like, well, wait a second. My categories, my perception of reality doesn't fit this new input. So we have to sometimes create new avenues of input. What we're talking about specifically tonight is that new input of the Word of God into our lives. How it changes, how it renovates us, creates a paradigm shift that creates a new reality for us, a new perception of life, a perception of reality. Because the key, the goal here is change. See, we're all going to change. I mean, there's always input. There's coming into our life. The question is, how are we going to change? What is it that's going to change us? What input into our lives do we want to have change us to be who we believe that God wants us to be? Are we going to let the world? Are we going to let the government? Are we going to let some book that we happen to pick up on, you know, some secular topic about how to change, how to lose weight, how to whatever? We're going to let those kind of things create a change of our reality, or are we going to let the Word of God do that? And when we let the Word of God do it, that change, that transformation that takes place, sets our life in a whole new direction. You know, Penny and I, from time to time, we watch these animal rescue videos. I don't know if you've ever seen those on YouTube, where they get a call about some stray dog that has been on the streets for a while. Maybe they're in the warehouse district and they've just fend for themselves, and they're shaggy and they look terrible. And They won't let anybody near them or touch them. And so they call these rescue places and they say, come out and get this dog. And so they go out and through their methods that they've learned over the years, they've learned how to attract the dog and to finally capture it. And what is so amazing, you know, when they're out on the streets like that, especially if it's been for a while, I mean, they're afraid of everything. Their perception of life is that it is nothing but evil and wrong, and they're full of fear. And so they get these dogs, they take them, if they need medical care, they get the medical care, they groom them, they, you know, give them baths and everything. If they've got ticks and that kind of stuff, I mean, they take care of all that kind of thing. And what is amazing in those videos is to see how in a incredibly short time, they go from this stray dog that is so fearful to a loving, playful, joyous animal that just is running around and just is loving people. Their whole perception of life changed with this rescue that happened. And in a sense, that's what we want to have happen in our lives. We want to take the challenges, the traumas, the hurts, the things that the evil one has used, our perception of reality that has caused challenges in our life. The Lord wants, by the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit to change us. To change us into new people, to change us and get rid of that stuff so that we love God and we can be a servant of His and to affect the lives of others around us in a very positive way so that they can come to know Jesus. They can get set free by the Word of God. Okay, so now let's talk, number four, about the levels of the input of the Word. I mean, we've talked about the importance of the Word of God, but I want you to see how it works. So we're talking about input into our lives, into our five senses. So in terms of the Word of God, it starts with instruction or information, facts. It has little impact on our perception of reality unless it is tied together by understanding. So it's good to read the Bible and understand about what it's saying. You know, I mean, look at what it's saying and have some basic understandings, basic knowledge, but that's not what we want. We need it to go deeper. We want to begin to tie it together. And that's what understanding does. Understanding puts the information together into a logical format. And then there is knowledge, which is perception. The application of understanding so that it becomes a changed way of thinking about a particular reality. Now, all of these words here, this instruction, understanding, knowledge, wisdom, which we'll look at in a few minutes. I'm getting all of these, I pulled all of these from the book of Proverbs. If you read the book of Proverbs, especially the first eight chapters or so, in particular, the first eight chapters, you'll see these words used a lot. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Seek knowledge. Matter of fact, let's look at a couple of those. I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou wilt seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure, Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path, every good way. So notice the attitude that we need to have here towards the word. Incline thine ear unto wisdom. When you hear wisdom, lean into it. Incline thine ear to it. And apply thy heart to understanding. In other words, apply it. That word there means to reach for, to reach out for understanding. Cry for knowledge. Lift up your voice for understanding. So as we are spending time in the Word, we're not just wanting to learn facts, knowledge, or, you know, those kind of things. But what we want to do is then begin to put it together so we gain an understanding. Remember in Mark 4, it says in Matthew 13, I'm sorry, I said Mark 4. Actually, let's look at Matthew 13. Because same parable, I just wanted to look at it from Matthew 13. Matthew 13 talks about that the sower went out to sow, right? And it says that he sowed onto the pathway, and it said that the birds came and immediately took it. And in his interpretation of that, his explanation of that, it says the word was sown into the heart, but the evil one comes immediately to take it away because there was no understanding. In other words, they heard, they gained some information, they gained some instruction, but there was no understanding. In other words, it hadn't been put together for them so they could see how it was of value to their life. So knowledge, or instruction, understanding, and then knowledge, being able to take that understanding and perceive so that it begins to change the way we think about life. So what are some things I'm talking about here? I'm thinking about things like that there is a spiritual dimension. So we don't just live in the natural. See, the five senses is all about the natural. What we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we touch, what we taste. It's all about what is in this world that is around us. But one of the things we begin to learn from the Word of God is that there is a different reality. That there is a spiritual reality, the reality where God lives, where the angels, the demons, the spiritual reality where everything that we need is there in the spiritual reality, right? It says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. They are in the spiritual realm. They are in us, in our spirit, and they need to be brought out. So we learn that there is a reality beyond what we can see, hear, and touch, and feel, and all that from our five senses. We learn from the Word that Jesus lives in us and that we are therefore nuclear powerhouses. We learn from the Word that we are not subject to the ways and the laws of this world because of what Jesus has done for us. So we gain understanding, we gain knowledge. So we begin to have a different understanding about life. The Word becomes the reality of our life, not the things that we see around us. Then wisdom is the combining information, understanding, and knowledge to perceive accurately a situation or an intellectual concept and respond with prudence so that you now have some means by which to evaluate situations and understandings, and you can kind of pull back from it and say, wait a second, what's going on here? Ah, okay, and now you can speak to it prudently. You can speak to it wisely and know how to react and know how to respond so that when a challenge comes to our life, a physical challenge, instead of getting all panicky and start focusing on what you're feeling, start focusing on the pain or the discomfort or whatever, it's like, well, wait a second, what does the Word say? So you've gained some information, you've gained some understanding, you've gained some knowledge, and now you have wisdom. Wait a second, God is my healer. Why am I putting up with this? And then you, because of the Word of God, you know how to respond. Your perception of reality has changed. So how do we get there? We focus by reading, studying the Word to change our perception of reality. You know, we emphasize the importance of the Word a lot, but it's not going to change your life until you pick it up and put your nose in it, get your eyes focused on it, spend the time necessary to get the Word, to plant it into our hearts. You know, we've talked about a lot about that this particular semester, about the importance of the Word, about planting it into our hearts. Now, we give you outline after outline. You see how thick the books are that we've given you just of this semester. There's got to be 125 pages of information, scriptures, outlines, concepts that we've put together to try to help you to be able to focus on these things, focus on the Word, and see the transformation of the Word in your life. But it's not going to change until you get into it, until you focus on it, until you read it, study it, put it together. And then the next step is then to begin to do it, to do the Word of God, to that is what puts it into our heart. So it's important that we are protecting the five senses. Protect the mind by protecting the five senses. Evaluate the things that come into your five senses, the thoughts that you have. Evaluate the things that you learned from other sources, whatever it is. Evaluate it according to the Word of God and let the Word be the reality of our life. Okay, now we're going to talk about understanding the heart. The second gate of transformation is the heart, which is the veil separating the spirit from the soul. Separating the spirit from the soul. It's important because the heart is what controls the flow of the Spirit of God out of us. When our heart is softened towards the things of God, then it opens up the veil of our hearts to allow the Spirit of God, the power of God, that we are then by faith believing to come out and through our heart and affect the area of our life that we need affected. John 8:31-32 says, Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. So if you don't continue in the word, still a believer, but by continuing in the word, what does that mean? It means to spend time in it. It means to put your nose in it and spend time in the word. It says, then are you my disciples, and you, the disciples, shall know the truth. In other words, you've experienced the information, the understanding, knowledge, wisdom. You know the truth. And it says, and the truth will make you free. You'll get the desired result of the Word of God. So we need to continue to soften our hearts so that the power of God can flow through those areas. Because out of the heart flow all the issues of life. Out of the heart flow all the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good. And that's what we want. We want to see out of our life come the good things of the Word of God. The heart is our core value system. So how is the core value system of our lives formed? In the natural, family values and traditions, training, information, education, experiences, teachers, religious influence, observation, reasoning, our thoughts. These things are the natural things. They kind of like what we were talking about with the mind. These actually start with the mind. But as we experience different things and we begin to come to some conclusions about stuff and we make decisions in our life based on those things, it starts getting into our heart. So it's affecting our core values, what we believe about life. Then there's the psychological aspects, the trauma that we may have experienced, family traumas, if there was a death in your immediate family, or if there was divorce, remarriages, new siblings brought in and mixed blended families. All these things can cause trauma, family trauma. Emotions tied to the natural, in other words, the natural thing of family values, that kind of stuff. What emotions did it elicit in you? Did it make you angry, frustrated, happy, joyful? These things all add to what makes our core value, what we believe about life. The defense mechanisms that we developed based on all these traumas and stuff. You know, was it pulling the covers over one's head? You know, so now you've kind of got this escapism kind of defense mechanism. If it gets too tough, I can just pull back. I can go do something else. I can, you know, go bury my head in the room. And you've seen these, you know, teenagers, maybe you were one or maybe you had one, that they get to be 15, 16 years old and all they want to do is go to their room and play the guitar or watch movies or listen to music, those kind of things. They're escaping from life. It's a coping mechanism that they've learned, a defense mechanism. The position in the family, the things that made you feel safe or things that made you feel afraid, how others responded to you and your response to them. In the spiritual, there was the generational sins that have affected you, that have come down from your generations, personal sins that you've been involved with, word curses from yourself or for others. You know, when Dad says to Johnny, "You'll never amount to anything." You know, these are word curses. So they affect us. And then the evil one uses all of these things to build strongholds of fear and different things into our life. So these are how our core values are formed. We've kind of focused on the negative, but there are also very positive things that could have happened in all this to have us become, you know, positive people or negative people or whatever it might be. All of these items, good or bad, interact and interreact with each other to form our core value system, our way of thinking about life. The parts of our core values that correspond to the Word are called righteous, good, godliness, holiness. The parts that do not are called iniquity, wickedness, evil, lawlessness, and frowardness, which is habitual disobedience. So what we want is for the Word that we are bringing in as input into our minds. We want the Word now to begin to instruct and to change our core values, so that our core values now become the core values of the Word of God, the core values of the Spirit of God, the core value of a Christian or biblical perspective on life. We want the Word to become our reality. So the thinking, the core value in the heart, determines who a man is. That's why it's so important. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's it. That's so important. That you gotta understand that. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's why we need the renewing of the Word of God in our minds to then affect our hearts, so that our hearts become the Word of God, so that our hearts now think, reason, understand after the Word of God. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I've said this before, I'm going to say this again. You are the you that you think you are. You change the you that you are by changing the you that you think you are. So we're not going to change fundamentally until we change who we think we are. So that's why it's so important that the Word of God be our instruction. The Word of God be our wisdom, to be our understanding, to be our knowledge. We need the Word of God so that we begin to think of ourselves by what the Word says, not what these other things in our life have told us. And that goes for religion too. I mean, much of religion, you know, that, you know, you're just a lowly worm just trying to make it through. No, we are not. You know, I'm just a man. You know, because I'm just a man, that, you know, I'm gonna say things, I'm gonna do things that are wrong. I'm just a man. No, we're not just a man. We have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And as we open up our hearts and let Him fill the rest of our being, our heart, our soul, our mind, our body, we are not just mere men. No, we are new creatures in Christ. New creatures, completely radicalized, completely changed, different than those that are in this world that don't know Jesus. You know, that may not sound politically correct. And if somebody were that didn't like it was listening to me, I'd probably get a tweet or an email telling me how evil I was. But you know what? That is just the way it is. That's what the Word says, that we are new creatures in Christ. The old things have passed away. The new things have come. And that new thing is Christ in us, that confident expectation of His glory. We want the Word of God to become that, the heart knowledge, that epigenosko, that intimate experiential knowledge, wisdom and revelation. Paul prays that we would have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge, the intimate heart knowledge. In 2 Peter, Peter says that grace and peace are multiplied to us through the knowledge. And again, that word is epigenosko, the intimate heart knowledge. He has given us power so that everything in our life pertaining to life and godliness is through the knowledge, the epigenosko. That word is used in all the right places. In other words, I've gotten to the point where I'm reading the word and I see the word knowledge. And I see the context of that word, and I say, that's got to be epigenosko. And 9 times out of 10, that's exactly what it is, because it's the intimate knowledge that delivers us. It's that heart knowledge that sets us free. So we need to take the instruction, the understanding, the knowledge, the wisdom, and turn it into heart knowledge. Understanding the tongue. The third gate of transformation is your tongue, because your words also carry creative power. See, it's the words out of our heart, because now we know who we are in Christ. We know what we have in Christ. That's what's in our heart. So now, as we speak it out of our mouth, as we do things in our life, as in other words, act in faith, faith is what is now coming out, and it will affect the things that we need it to affect. And our words become powerful at that point. Just a few weeks ago, we had that lesson on unleashing the power of the sword of the Spirit, which was basically that, talking about how to release the power of God through our words by our heart knowledge. We spent a lot of time on this last time talking about the creative power of our words. So we don't need to go into real depth on this, but I do want to point out something that the Lord showed me today from James chapter 3 that I hadn't put together before. James chapter 3, starting in verse 3. It says, "Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth or desires." So we see here the way that he's unfolding this is that the bit, the small bit in the horse's mouth, and the small rudder, the helm on the ship, is being likened to the tongue. Right? It's being likened to the tongue. See, it's the tongue that is guiding our life. It's where we put the tongue. It's what we do with the tongue that guides the life, that guides our life. So look at what it says. We put the bit, the tongue, in this big horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. So who is the us that is controlling the bit in this horse's mouth, and who is the us that is controlling the tongue in our mouth? It is what comes out of our heart. Now look at in verse 4 about the ship. It says, the ships are great, but they're turned about with a very small helm, a very small rudder, whithersoever the governor desires. Who is the governor? Who is the one piloting the ship with that helm, with that rudder? It's our heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's again why it's so important that our heart be attuned to God, and we're filled with the heart knowledge of the Word of God, because that then affects the tongue, which affects and guides the direction of our life. So get the Word of God in. Let it be the heart knowledge, because it's the abundance of the heart, the abundance that's in the heart. The more of the Word of God, the more of the abundance of the Word of God in our hearts, the more of the abundance of the Word of God in a particular area, whether it be healing or finances, whatever, it's the abundance that's in our heart. Not just a little bit, the abundance that's in our heart that is going to control the tongue. The use of the Word, so use the Word of God to change your mind. Act on the Word to change your heart. And when your heart is changed so that you are the you that you want to be, that you think you are, that you want to be, then that is what will then guide your life through your tongue. So that's the three gates of transformation: the mind, the heart, and the tongue. And when we implement those three gates effectively in our lives, it changes our life so that now it puts us into alignment so that the Word of God can, or the power, the Spirit of God can flow out of our lives and affect our lives and those around us. So how can we use the gates of transformation to manifest a vision by changing you? Form an image of the vision in your heart. Let Christ be formed in you. That was what Paul said to the Galatians about his ministry. I want to see Christ formed in you. In another place in Colossians chapter 1, he says, we labor diligently to teach every man and admonish every man so that we can present every man perfect in Christ. Let Christ be formed in you. Let the mind of Christ be in you. See, our life moves in the direction of our most dominant thoughts. So, envision who it is that God has called you to be. Envision what it is, what it means to be a manifested child of God. Envision in your mind what it means to be part of the glorious church. Envision what it means to see health and healing in the areas of challenge in your life. What does that look like? Form an image. See, this is using the power of imagination. Sound like a Disney commercial. The power of imagination. No, this is a God. You know, Disney got it from God. Disney got it from God. Because there is the power of imagination. We think in pictures. And when we can have a picture of ourselves, healthy, healed, and whole, a picture of ourselves ministering in power to our friends and neighbors and loved ones, when we have an image of that in our minds, because that's who God has called us to be, then it's like, well, then how do I do that? How do I reach out? How do I let that flow out of my life? So we need to let the vision be fully planted in our minds by meditating on it. Think about it. Imagine it. Feel it. Smell it. What does it look like? And then by beginning to act on those thoughts, it begins to place it in our hearts even more, because it is an act then of faith. Our mind actions will be deposited in our mind actions, and what we think and then act on will be placed and deposited in our heart. So we need to see it, hear it, imagine it, meditate, fantasizing about it, studying, muttering it. In other words, affirmations, speaking it over and over, doing it. Picture what it is that you're wanting to be in Christ Jesus. Now we can also then transfer this to not just what you want to be or how you want to be in Christ Jesus, to be imitators of Him, but now transfer it to what you want to do for Him, how you want to be His servant. What is it you want to accomplish? What destiny has God called you? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Dream about it. What is it that God wants for your life? Who does He want you to impact? How does He want you to impact? Dream about it. Let Him give you a vision. You know, just like it says in Hosea, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." There's another place in the Scripture that talks about the perishing of God's people without something. What is that? Vision. Without a vision, my people perish. So by combining those two together and having a vision based on knowledge and understanding and wisdom and heart knowledge of God, wow, talk about living. Talk about, there's this song that I have known since I was a kid, in the church I grew up in. About once a year, they used to sing it. It's an old Negro spiritual, and it's called "Ain't Got Time to Die." And it is based on I'm healing, I'm working for the kingdom, I'm giving to the poor, I'm doing all these things, I'm just busy praising my God. Keep so busy serving my master, keep so busy serving my master, keep so busy serving my master, ain't got time to die. Oh Lord, I spend all of my time, praise my Jesus, all of my time, praise my Lord. If I don't praise Him, the rocks are gonna cry out, glory and honor, glory and honor, ain't got time to die. Anyway, so when we are so busy serving the Lord, so busy doing what He's called us to do, I mean, how can we perish, right? How can we go down to destruction? No. We envision what God wants to do. And so then now we take that vision, that understanding, what is it that God wants for us, and we create a plan. We begin to work it into our lives. What do we need to do? How do we go from A to Z in terms of fulfilling this plan? There's faith. It takes faith and patience to inherit the promise. We've created the plan. Habakkuk 2:2 says to write out the plan and make it plain. There's this one minister I know. Every year, he asks the Lord, what is it you want for this next year? And the Lord gives him things, what kind of things that they want to accomplish through his church and ministry and different things that he's involved in. And so he writes it out. But he treats it with such respect and honor. He doesn't just write it on some pieces of binder paper and stick it in the back of his Bible and look at it every once in a while. No, what he does is he goes out and he buys the best paper that he can possibly buy. You know, 25% rag, you know, linen, paper, you know, the best you can buy. And then he gets a portfolio. I mean, he spends hundreds of dollars buying these leather portfolios. He types up his plan. He puts it in this thing. He says, I am going to honor God with this plan. This is not just some trivial thing. So I am doing it with all, I'm going all out to do it. And so that is his plan. He has it all typed up. It's in that nice paper, in that nice portfolio. And it is centered then to his life for this next year. It's not something he just puts on the back shelf and forgets about it. What God has told him to do, what God has instructed him to do, it is his intention to do it. So he doesn't treat it lightly. So make a plan. And then by faith, and at times patience, because it may not happen all at once, begin to work out the plan. Let's go down to the suggestion. Pick a goal. Write down that vision. Form the image within you. Create a plan to complete the vision, and then break the plan into small tasks as steps. Step number one, within the plan, define a task which is within your capability. What is it you can do? You know, maybe you want to build a website and start doing blogging to get the word out in some way. So it's like, okay, well, that's what God is leading me to do. So what can I do? Well, I can start doing research on how to create a website, how to, you know, what host I can use, and how does all that work? Start doing research on it. Maybe you can't, you know, you find out how much it costs, and it's like, wow, that's a little more than I can afford right now. So you pray and you ask God, and you say, okay, God, this is what you call me to do. And so then the next step is his. He's got to bring in the money. So money comes in. It's like, all right, now I can buy my domain. I can, buy the hosting plan. Okay, now what? Well, I can start playing around with it. I can go on YouTube and find out how to build a website. So you go and you start doing instructions and stuff, and then you get stuck, and it's like it's not working. And then now it's God's turn. And then all of a sudden, he brings about something you weren't even expecting. Somebody says something. Somebody gives you something. You happen to see something on the internet, and it's exactly what you needed. It's like, ah, that's it. Thank you, Jesus. And so you take that, and you then you do what you can do. And so back and forth, you take a step, God takes a step. You take a step, God takes a step. And then the end is that you see your vision manifested. The transformation that God desires is amazing. What I see from the scriptures, what I see in my mind about what the glorious church is to be all about. I mean, I feel like at times I'm standing on this mountain and I can see what God wants to do. I can see his vision being unfolded for these end days through the glorious church. And we need to all come to those places where we go beyond who we are. We are transformed as we spend time in the Word, as we implement it into our life, as it becomes part of who we are. And then we speak it and we announce it through our words. And God begins to work it out. And to see that vision come into play for us, for our lives, for our loved ones, for the things that God wants us to do in this world. So use the gates of transformation and let your life be transformed. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen.